Amen.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 14 through 20, focusing specifically this morning on verse 17. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. If you graduated before 2006, you might be surprised to learn that there are not actually nine planets in our solar system as we were taught. They have reclassified Pluto, and now students are taught that there are only eight planets. If you grew up watching the Dallas Cowboys play the Washington Redskins, they now play the Washington Commanders. That's really hard for me to get my mind around sometimes. If you wanted to watch a movie back in the day, you would actually go to a physical store. You'd get a VCR tape or a DVD. Now, we just stream whatever movie we want to watch online from something like Netflix. When we traveled from one place to another, my dad would get out a physical map. And I was always amazed that he could make sense of all those lines going every which direction. But he navigated from one place to the other with a map, holding it in his hands. Now, we have navigation devices in our cars and on our phones. And that's how we get from one destination to the next. I could go on and on, but I think the point is clear. We live in a world that's constantly changing. Things just continue to change, and they're going to continue to be that way. But I've got good news this morning, church. There's one thing that hasn't changed and never will change, and that's the mission of the church. The church's mission will always be the same. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives us our marching orders as a church, this divine assignment. And that assignment is to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. That command to go and make disciples, it tells us what we are to do, and it never changes. That is the mission that Jesus has given to us. It remains the same. Those marching orders are never rescinded. Our purpose for all times is to make disciples. Because that mission never changes, and because we're at the start of a new year, we're going to revisit Mark chapter 1, especially verse 17, to just reiterate what our church's mission is in conjunction with what Jesus has commanded us to do in making disciples. Many years ago, we took this verse as a staff because this verse, Mark 1:17, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men, it defines what a disciple is, what Jesus tells us we're to be all about making disciples. Jesus gives us a clear three-part definition of what it means to be one of his disciples. You'll remember the context of this passage. Jesus begins his preaching ministry in Galilee, and he's calling the first disciples to himself, Simon and Andrew, James and John, as he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. And in this passage, we see that Jesus shows us that a disciple is distinguished by three essential marks. In other words, three essential characteristics mark a disciple of Jesus's. And we're going to look at those three marks together this morning. Let's look at the passage together, and then we'll pray, beginning in verse 14. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went away to follow him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in a world that's constantly changing, the mission of the church remains the same. God, no one needs to worry that they'll ever come to church one Sunday and hear that the mission of the church is now different. You have codified that in your word. We are to forever be about this task of making disciples, and I pray that you will help us to, God, just learn again what we're all about as the Church of Jesus Christ that meets at 397 South Stemmons Freeway in Lewisville, Texas, that we are to be a church that makes disciples as defined by Jesus. And we pray it in his matchless name. Amen. So Jesus shows us in this text that a disciple is distinguished by three essential marks. I want you to see first in verse 17 that a disciple is someone who knows Jesus personally. As Jesus has been preaching and he's been walking along the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew. Simon we know as Peter. And Jesus' words to them in verse 17 are, "Follow me." Now this language, as you read through the New Testament, I'm sure you've encountered it over and over because Jesus uses this language oftentimes. This "follow me" language Jesus uses as a reference for becoming one of his disciples. It is, in fact, a technical expression of New Testament discipleship. Jesus says something similar in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Listen to what he says. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a disciple, you have to realize that, one, you have to deny yourself. Life is no longer going to be about you. You got to renounce yourself. You got to take up your cross daily. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to sin. You got to be willing to suffer me if need be. And then you're going to go where I lead. You're attaching yourself to my life. I become your Lord. I become your Savior. I am your leader moving forward. See, to be a follower of Jesus is to be a disciple of Jesus. The command to follow me, it envisions a person making this commitment to Jesus Christ so that they enter into this personal transformative relationship, and doing so, they're leaving one way of life that they've been doing themselves apart from Christ, to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior so that they now know him in this personal, committed way. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus in a personal relationship. Look back up in verse 15. Jesus breaks it down a little bit more to show us what it really looks like to follow him. When he says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, he's saying, look, all things have come to place as my Father has planned it. God's kingdom has finally come because the Messiah, the King, has finally arrived. And so the response of everyone to the King that God has sent is to repent, turn from sin, and to believe the gospel, trust in Jesus, to know him in a personal relationship. Through the years, I have shared the gospel with countless numbers of people. In fact, I did it yesterday with a young man over in Dallas. We made a Facebook market purchase, and this young man's name was Ivan. And after Ivan shared something with us, we bought something from him, I shared the gospel with Ivan. I share the gospel the way I try to teach you guys to share. I told Ivan, I said, hey, Ivan, if you're ever over in our area, we would love for you to visit our church. I gave him one of our invite cards, and I said, if you can't make it over to where we're at, just know that this card explains what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ, how to know him in a personal relationship. And so I told him, hey, there's one true God. He created us all. He's holy. He's perfect. And I said, we've got a problem, though. There's a coming day of judgment, and we all fall short of God's glory. And so what we deserve is to be judged by him, separated, and punished in a literal place called hell. I said, that's bad news, Ivan. But I said, here's the good news. The God who made us, and the God is holy, and the God who has every right to judge us, he'd rather forgive us than condemn us. And so he sent his son Jesus into the world. Jesus is his son, fully God, became a man. He lived a perfect, sinless life for us. And then he paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And after he suffered in our place, he was buried, rose from the dead as our King who defeated sin and death for us. And I said, Ivan, the Bible promises us that if we will repent of our sin and we'll trust in Jesus, God forgives us of our sins. He credits the righteousness of Jesus to our account. And we inherit this gift of abundant, eternal life when we receive Jesus. So I shared that gospel with Ivy yesterday, and I've shared that same gospel with countless others. And after sharing the gospel on so many occasions, I've asked people, so tell me, what do you think about that message? And do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you know him personally? Let me tell you some of the responses I get oftentimes from people. They'll immediately follow when I ask, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? They'll say, I've been baptized. That's the response when I ask them, do you know Jesus personally? Have you repented and believed in him? They'll say, I've been baptized. Listen, being baptized is a good thing. You need to do it to be an obedient follower of Christ. If you've trusted in Jesus and you've not been baptized, you need to come forward at the end of the service, grab one of us after church is over and say, hey, I need to get this right because I need to be baptized as Jesus commands. But listen, water doesn't save you. Water no more brings us into a relationship with Jesus to make us a disciple than burying our feet in the dirt makes us a tree. Water does not do that for us. Other times I'll ask people after sharing the gospel, do you know Jesus personally? And then they'll say, well, I go to such and such church. Again, belonging to a church, it's a New Testament commandment. Attending a church faithfully, New Testament commandment. We all need to do it to grow as believers, but being a part of a church, again, does not bring a person into a vital relationship with Jesus. It does not make you a Christian. It does not mean you're saved. It does not mean you know him personally. Other times I'll ask that question, do you know Jesus personally? Have you trusted in him? And they'll say, man, I've heard this so many times, church. I try to live a good life. I'm doing my best to live a good life. And that answer goes completely against the antithesis. It's the antithesis of what the gospel message is all about. The gospel message is that there's only one who's righteous. There's only one who is good. No one can do good in the eyes of God. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus lived. That's why Jesus died. And that's why we need justification, the righteousness of Jesus Christ declared applicable to our account. Because we can't live the good life that pleases God and gets us into a right relationship with God. Yes, we want to live morally. We want to live biblically, but that follows knowing Christ. That's not how we come into a relationship with him. Being a disciple, according to Jesus, it begins with following him, knowing him personally, which means we repent of our sin and we receive him by faith. Church, that should be our passion. We should want as many people as possible to know this message. That's why God's left us here. That's what God wants us to be about. It's making sure people know who Jesus is, what he did for them, and how they can respond as we've responded to him. We need to pray for that. We need to pray that for our lives, pray that for our church, that we will be serious about people knowing Jesus personally, because that's where discipleship begins. That's the only way you can be a disciple, is knowing Jesus. So let me ask you this morning, do you know him personally? Have you come to that place in your life where you've understood you're a sinner and you need God's forgiveness that's found only in Christ? And have you repented and trusted in him? We want you to settle that this morning, going into 2026, so that that issue is the grounds, that knowing Jesus personally is the grounds upon which you build everything else in your life for this new year. A disciple, according to Jesus, is someone who knows him personally. I want you to look secondly in the text. Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you become. A disciple is someone who grows in Jesus continually. See, after they begin to follow Jesus and they committed themselves to him, Jesus tells us something awesome is going to happen in their lives. He's telling them, I'm going to do something that's going to revolutionize your life. He uses the future tense here. He says, I will make you become, to convey that there's going to be transformation. There's going to be what we call growth, spiritual growth start to happen in their lives. Put simply, when we follow Jesus, when we enter into this personal relationship with him, our lives begin to change as we begin to grow spiritually. I want you to see two things about this growth in what Jesus says here. First of all, I want you to see the source of the growth. Jesus says, I will. He says, I'm going to do this. When a person becomes a Christian, when we become a disciple, when we repent and believe in Christ, some people have this idea in the secular world, oh, you're just making a fresh start with your life. You're just turning over a new leaf, or you're just changing your thinking. That's not what the Christian life's about. No, Jesus is saying, when you align your life with me and you receive me as Lord and Savior, he goes to work and he does something within us so that we can start doing what we formerly could not do in our own strength, and we're going to start becoming what we could not become in our own strength. And we know how this happens. When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He's the third person of the Godhead. And he makes real the relationship with God and Jesus. And he gives us a new heart. And he gives us an empowerment so that we can be and do as Jesus commands. No Christian does what Jesus commands and becomes what Jesus calls us to be on his or her own. It only happens through the supernatural power of Christ working in us. So the source of our growth in Christ comes about supernaturally. I want you to see, secondly, the pattern of this growth. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you become. This infinitive become tells the disciples and it tells us that what Jesus was going to be doing in their hearts, it wasn't going to be instantaneous. There was going to be a process that would start taking place in their lives. There was something that was going to happen gradually, progressively, and continually. The pattern for growth is continual. Once Jesus comes into our lives, when we receive him, he starts a work that is never completed until we go to be with him and we're glorified. So no Christian, when they start out their journey with Christ, can ever reach a place on this earth and be able to walk around and say, I've done it. I crossed the line, and I'm all that I need to be in Jesus. That doesn't happen. Nobody can say, hey, I've arrived, pastor, or brother, sister, so-and-so. Jesus doesn't need to do anything else in me. I'm who I need to be. I'm everything that God wants of me. That doesn't happen this side of heaven. That only happens when we go to be with the Lord. So from the point where we start our walk with Jesus, it's a journey that never concludes until the day we go to be with him. I've never had an opportunity to go out west and to see the giant redwood trees in some of our natural parks. But I've seen pictures of these things. Have any of you ever seen those trees in person? They're massive, aren't they? Just the pictures. I can't imagine what it's like to actually be around one of those trees. Something unique about those trees, those giant redwoods, they never stop growing. They're continually growing in girth and in height. They're always getting bigger, and they're always getting taller. Guys, that's just a great just analogy for us as Christians. When we start this pattern of growing in Jesus, it's continual for us. It never stops. Jesus is always working in our hearts to free us from sin, to bring sin from our hearts to our minds, that we can confess it, turn from it, to open up our lives and our eyes to see more and more truth that we need to be living out and growing in him. This growth, like those in our lives, just like those redwoods, should be constant. It should be ongoing. It should be continual. If Jesus tells us that a disciple is someone who's growing continually, how much effort and how much attention should we focus on the fact that I need to be serious about positioning myself so that whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life, he has the freedom to do it, so that we don't hinder it. We need to be cooperating with everything that God wants to do so we can grow on the track that God has for us. The basic ways that we can position ourselves to grow for this new year, I just want to encourage you to think about it. One is by spending time in the Lord's Word and by praying. When we get in the Word, it's just like spiritual food that helps us to grow spiritually. When we pray daily, God uses that time of meeting with him to grow us by being in his presence. We need prayer and Bible study. We need gathering with the local church to grow. And we need a heart that says, what I read, I'm not just going to be a hearer in the Word of God, but I'm going to be a doer of the Word of God. So we're positioning ourselves to say, God, I want to grow. I'm going to read your Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to gather with the church, and I'm going to obey this year. I'm going to walk in obedience. And when we do those things, God is faithful to grow us. Now, our growth is not going to all look the same. Some of us, he puts on a faster track than others, but we're all going to grow. And that's the beauty of being in Christ. He's always doing a work in us to make us more and more like himself. A disciple of Jesus is someone who knows him personally, someone who grows in him continually. And then the third aspect of what it means to be a disciple, Jesus tells us, is summed up in the words, "Follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men." Jesus tells his disciples, "Follow me, know me personally, I'll make you become, you'll grow continually." And he says, "Fishers of men, you're going to go with me missionally." Think of it this way. Jesus is giving them an assignment, something he's building them up for. He's going to save them, free them from their sin, from its penalty. He's going to shape them. He's going to work on their hearts, make them into the image of himself, and then he's going to send them. He's going to send them out in the world. He's going to return to the Father, and then they have this divine assignment. Just as a fisherman is casting a net into the sea to gather fish from the sea, he says, "I'm sending you out into the world, and you're going to be a people who catch men for me. You're going to bring others to me. You're going to gather people from all the nations to bring them into the kingdom of God." Now, how does that fishing analogy flesh its way out in our daily lives as a church? What does it look like for us to go with Jesus missionally? Well, it involves two main priorities. It involves, one, the priority of evangelizing. We have to actually enter into conversations with people. We have to open our mouths. We have to start talking about spiritual things and get to Jesus at some point with people. We have to tell them who Jesus is, what Jesus did for them, and how they can know him. That's called evangelizing. And then it also embraces the other twin responsibility of discipling. Discipling is this process of bringing new believers into the church, connecting them formally to the church, leading them through the process of baptizing, and then we're helping raise them up to teach them all that Jesus wants them to know so that they can obey him in every way. And we're investing our lives into them to help them become mature believers, as others have invested into our lives to help us become mature in Christ. So Jesus is basically saying, what I've done for you, I ultimately want you to go do for others. You're going to follow me. I'm going to change your life, and I'm going to send you out, and then I want you to go and repeat this process in the lives of others so that you become disciples who make disciples, and they make disciples who make disciples, and this process continues until the time of my return. Ed Adams, a good friend of mine sitting in the back there, he's just got a soul winner's heart, loves to share the gospel. Ed intentionally strikes up conversations. And one of the places Ed shares the gospel a lot is at the gym, and specifically in the sauna. I've started going to the sauna over the last several weeks, and the sauna at my father-in-law's gym in Georgia, that is so hot. I was just instantly thinking about Ed. There were like 12 men in the sauna together with me. And I'm like, I am so hot, I can barely breathe. I don't know how he gets a conversation out in the sauna here. And he shares Jesus with people. But Ed is a great example of somebody who is intentional to tell people about Jesus and call them to place their faith in him. We've got other ladies in the church. We got Jocelyn Babylon. We got Lori Cantwell. They're right now, over a period of time, they've been meeting with several different young ladies in our church in discipleship groups. They're working through a material together. They're reading the Bible together. They're learning to pray together. And they're asking accountability questions to grow in Christ. Guys, it's not either or. It takes both of these investments. Evangelizing, sharing Jesus, and once people come to know Jesus, we're investing into them, discipling them to help them grow in spiritual maturity. So the question is this morning, are you living missionally? As a believer, that's what Jesus wants of us all. He wants us to live a missional life. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you investing into others to help them grow in their walk with Christ? One of the best ways, if you don't know where that starts, how to do that this year, is to join a discipleship group. We want to start several new groups this year, and joining a discipleship group helps you to know where to start, gives you some fundamentals on what it looks like to spend time with others and to raise them up in Christ, men with men, women with women, helping each other grow in the Lord. Our mission statement as a church is this: Lakeland Baptist Church exists to develop faithful followers of Christ who know him personally, grow in him continually, and go with him missionally. That's what we're about. Jesus said, make disciples, and we want to make biblical disciples who know him, grow in him, and go with him. Now, with that brief reminder of our mission statement and what a disciple is, I want to turn attention for the next 10 minutes to share with you a 3-year vision for our church that I believe will help us stay on track and on task to make disciples who know, grow, and go. This 3-year vision is going to be called Faith Forward. That title is strategic. The faith part of it reminds us that apart from God's help, we can't do anything. That whatever we're seeking to do, it's going to have to be done through the power of God and the provision of God, or it just won't happen. The forward part reminds us that as a church, remaining idle, it's not an option. We can never just sit and soak. We have got to be a people who are always thinking, how do we strengthen the weak areas? How do we keep advancing the gospel? How do we be faithful to what Jesus has tasked us with doing? So our Faith Forward vision is going to focus on 5 strategic priorities. The first priority is going to be prayer. The goal of this priority is we want to strengthen our church's dependence on prayer. One of our former SBC leaders from many years ago, the late Paul Powell, he once said this: to neglect prayer is to neglect the source of the greatest power in our lives. If we depend on education, we get what education can do. If we depend on money, we get what money can do. If we depend on organization, we get what organization can do. If we depend on promotion, we get what promotion can do. But if we depend on prayer, we get what God can do. God calls us to be a people that are totally dependent on him. And when we pray, we're not just simply informing God of the things we want him to do for us and in us and through us, but we're saying through prayer, we can't do it without you. We need you. And so as objectives to strengthen our church's dependence on prayer, 1, we want to establish a monthly prayer meeting. We want this prayer meeting to take place, we're planning right now, we'll see how this works out, the first Sunday evening of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. We're starting off this Sunday evening from 5 to 6. As I said earlier, it's going to be a time to worship and a time to pray. We want to come together collectively just to seek the Lord in that special way. 2, we want to integrate prayer into all church activities. We don't want prayer to be an afterthought in what we're doing as students, as children, or as adults. In any ministry aspect, we want it to be the forethought. That before we act, when we're acting, and after we're acting, we're a people who are praying. And we're just covering our church with prayer. 3, I'm excited about this. I've never been a part of one. We want to schedule a yearly prayer revival. I've heard of another church that's done this, but this is like an old-fashioned revival where you bring a preacher in just to preach. We're going to just bring someone in possibly. I don't know who that may be, or we may lead it. We'll just see how God works that out. But we're just going to focus on praying for a week together, meeting together to worship and to pray and just seek the Lord and see how God works in our hearts through that prayer revival. 4, we want to establish prayer teams to pray during the Sunday school hour. We're going to ask everybody to be willing to give up 1 to 2 Sundays, and we already started it off this Sunday morning. While we were gathering in Sunday school, we had a group of around 4 people praying for our church. Sunday school, for the worship, for God to work in people's hearts, for things that are coming up this month, for things that will be coming up throughout the year. Our first strategic priority is going to be prayer. Second priority, it's going to be discipleship and spiritual formation. We want to deepen discipleship and foster spiritual formation here at the church. Spiritual formation, discipleship, they go hand in hand, but they're a little distinct from one another. Discipleship refers to the formal processes that we have in place as a church to help us grow spiritually. Spiritual formation refers to that work of the Holy Spirit in each believer's heart to grow that person morally and to grow that person spiritually. So we want to set up things in the church for the Holy Spirit to be doing a great work in the hearts of our members. And so our objectives here, 1, we want to average as many in Sunday school as what we do in worship. We want everybody who comes to worship to be plugged into a small group. Don't say you don't need a small group. Don't say that you don't need that community and fellowship from other believers, because we all need it. We have statistics that tell us that our spiritual lives are more grounded when we meet with a small group than if we just come to church service alone. So we want to see God do a work where everybody gets plugged into a small group. 2, We want to offer one new core class every spring and fall semester. We started doing this last year. We've offered a core class on living life on mission and on spiritual rhythms. These are classes that allow you to break away from Sunday school and to just do an intense study in an area where you feel like you need to grow. We want to offer two of those yearly. Number three, we want to start 5 new discipleship groups each year. We have young men, young women. We have those from all ages who just need someone else that's a spiritual leader to invest into them to help them grow in their spiritual walk. So we want to see 5 of those started each year. Number four, we want to recruit and train up 10 new leaders for discipling and teaching in our church. We're going to pray God helps us to identify those people so that we can start new classes and we can start new areas of ministry. Number five, we want to provide you with a 3-year Bible reading program, because this vision is going to go from 26 to 28. It's going to be a strategic Bible plan so that if you don't have something in place, you know where to go to in your Bible, and you're working together with others in the church in reading God's Word. And then lastly, on the discipleship and spiritual formation, we want to find a place of service for all members. God gifts us to use our gifts in serving others. Ephesians chapter 4 makes very clear, if we're not using those gifts in the church, we're not going to be growing, and the church is not going to be growing as it should if we're not using what God has given to us. So we want to connect every member to a place of ministry and service. Priority number three, community outreach and missions. We simply have the goal here of increasing the number of Lakeland Baptist Church members living life on mission. We just want to see more people saying, I know Jesus, and I'm growing in him, and I'm going with him. I'm actually doing something to reach others for Christ. And so here's our objectives. Number one, we want to deploy 50% of our church on a short-term mission, a one-day mission trip, or some kind of outreach activity that we have in our local area. We want you to be a part of the corporate things we're doing to help you share the gospel personally. Number two, we're going to provide evangelism training opportunities. We're going to switch it up from the ways we've been doing, but we're going to try to equip you in more ways to be able to tackle the questions you have in sharing the gospel with the people that you rub shoulders with in our community. Number three, we're going to partner with a couple of apartment complexes each year. We want to love those people. We want to do something on their campus. We want to let them know that Lakeland's here and that we want to serve them and we want to reach them with the gospel. Number four, we want to establish one new church planting partnership every year for the next 3 years. And then number five, we want to connect with all of our Lakeland Christian Academy families that are in church. We have a great ministry opportunity on our campus through Lakeland Christian Academy, and we want to find ways to connect with those families that are not plugged in and faithful to a church. Priority number four, lostness. We want to reach more people for Christ and impact lostness in our community. Church, I want to see us become a church the next 3 years. We have 50 salvations each year for the next 3 years. I want us to baptize at least 20 people. So all of our ministry, from prison ministry to vacation Bible school, everything in between, we want to hear of people making commitments to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They may not come to our church. They may go to other churches where we're already connected, but we want to be that kind of an influencing church where we see 50 people coming to faith in Christ and see us baptizing at least 20 of them. Number three, we want to engage as a church in 500 gospel conversations in a personal way. That means we want not me preaching on a Sunday counting for a couple of hundred of gospel conversations, but we want us engaging one-on-one with people saying, this is Jesus, this is what he did, this is why you need him, this is how you can know him. And inviting people to know him in a personal way. We want to see 500 of those each year over the next 3 years. I'm really excited about this next objective. We want to see every Lakeland Baptist Church member this year. And we're going to find out a way to try to track this. But we want to see every member share the gospel at least one time. And I'm believing God's going to help us do this. We want every church member to share the gospel at least one time. And I know for some of us, you're thinking, well, that's nothing big, Pastor. I share the gospel many times throughout the year. But for some people, that's going to be a big milestone for them to share the gospel one time. But we want to help. Through God's help, we want to see that happen. Number five, we want to see over 200 kids come to Vacation Bible School this year at Lakeland Baptist Church. And then last of all, we want to see 5 new children, 5 new students added to each of our ministries each year for the next 3 years. Last priority, stewardship. We want to strengthen our overall financial health as a church. We want to see our giving grow by at least 10%. We want to provide a 1-month stewardship during our small group time on Sundays that focuses on biblical stewardship, what the Bible teaches us about being those who are generous givers. We want to offer the financial peace course at least once every year to help people get their financial situations in control. Number four, we want to improve our giving experience. We've tried to make giving as easy as we can here at Lakeland, but we still have some of you who say, I still don't understand the church app, still don't know how it works to go online to give. Some of you are still struggling with that, so we want to see what we can do to help improve that experience. Number five, we want to implement the use of generosity testimonies during the worship time. We want to start letting you hear from others who are faithful givers at what God's done in their lives because they're faithful to give and how God blesses through generosity. And then last of all, we want to develop a 3-year facilities improvement program. We have a lot of space. We have a lot of building that we have to keep up with. We plan a budget, and before we know it, the budget's blown because we've had these problems with air conditioning, we've had these problems with sewage, we've had these problems come up, and so we want to get together a strategic plan to just help you be informed to know, hey, this is coming with the roof, this is coming with the AC, this is coming with the other needs of the facility, and these are things that we need to be thinking about, and they're going to require us to dig a little deeper so that we can take care of what God has entrusted to us. Whew. A lot to say. I can tell you this morning, I'm not going to accomplish this. I can tell you this morning, there's no person here that's going to make this happen. But God can do it through us. God can strengthen us. God can excite our hearts. God can rally us around faith forward, where we are committed to seeing God do some amazing things as we are desiring to make disciples who know Him personally, grow in Him continually, and go with Him missionally. We're going to put a copy of this into your hands soon. We're going to work on printing something that's going to be nice for you to keep as a reference, for a way for you to just refresh yourself on what we're doing, where we're going over the next 3 years, and what we're committed to doing. We're going to put it on the website in conjunction with our mission statement that this is where we're going as a church. So I want to ask you, will you pray? Number one, Lord, make me a disciple at Lakeland Baptist Church who is committed to knowing, growing, and going with Jesus. If we'll all get on the same page with that, God will do some wonderful things through our congregation. Number two, will you pray this morning for just this vision? That God will help you see the role you're going to play in it, what God's asking you to do, where God's going to want to use you specifically, and what it's going to look like to help bring these pieces together. And then last of all, as a pastor who loves people and more than anything wants to take as many people to heaven with me as I can before I die, if you don't know Jesus this morning, we're going to have ministers up front. Will you come? We want you to know Him personally. We want your discipleship walk to begin this morning. We want you to experience Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Will you please stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, there are so many things that vie for our time as your people in this world. I'm asking you this morning to just strip those things away. Lord, that you will just do a work in all of our hearts. Lord, whatever it looks like for us this morning to respond to your word that's been preached, God, will you just have your way? We're not embarrassed what anyone thinks. We don't care. All we care about is what you're calling us to do. If it's coming forward to pray and to submit our lives afresh to you for this new year to be a disciple who knows, grows, and goes, if it's making some commitments that we've shied away from and we've let other things rival your domain in our lives, that we're willing to say, God, I'm willing to give this over to you now. Maybe there's a specific thing that God wants you to do in joining Lakeland Baptist Church, making this your home and making that intent known so we can help you move forward with that process. Or maybe you just need Jesus. Life's a mess and you need forgiveness for your sins. You need not just a new start, but you need Jesus to make you new. God, work in people's hearts. Have your way with us this morning. make our chairs an altar of prayer. God, draw us close to yourself. Draw near to us now. Work in our hearts. God, we give our mission to you, which you've assigned to us, God, to use us this year. We give this faith forward vision, God, into your hands, saying, God, adjust it in any way you want. Help us to become the people of God here that make this year count, 2026, 2027, and 2028 count for Jesus more than we ever have before.